Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
We know what's coming up at 3:30 on Saturday in Athens, the biggest game in the history of that stadium. That's all it is. Gary Danielson and Brad Nessler from CBS going to be on the call.
Man, I hope Gary got his ticket. These things are flying. This is very expensive.
I think he has a credential. Gary Danielson joining us now on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line here on the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. Gary, always nice to have you on the program.
Yeah, my pleasure. Looking forward to the game. Doing the interviews. It's a long week, but everybody wants to talk about it. That means it's a big game.
Yeah, it's the beauty of sports, I guess, in general. When the season started, nobody could have foreseen the magnitude of this game. Yet here we are.
Yeah, that's for sure. We knew Tennessee would be good. We didn't know that they would be 52 points good to beat Alabama. That's for sure.
Gary, how long does it take for a football team to come up with a playing personality, do you think? Are we at the right point of the season where we know definitively what at least the personality is?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, LSU looks a lot, excuse me, it's a bit of a Freudian slip. Tennessee looks a lot like 2019 LSU, if you ask me. I mean, almost in every way. Very skilled future NFL wide receivers, a sixth-year quarterback, a veteran offensive line, a team that's, you can't not ignore any part of their offense and expect to just kind of tilt your defense one way because they can come the other direction and hurt you. Last year, Tennessee was a year away, and they paid the price against this Georgia team. Georgia, they're unique. You know, they got two pedestrian positions at tight end for most of the country, but they might be their best two athletes on the field, and it gives defenses fits with their two tight ends. And then their physical running game can pop up anytime. So, yeah, both teams can turn it on. I think pretty much we know what they are.
It started as a boxing expression. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. Is this type of offense punchable? Can you get them in the middle of the ring and deliver that type of punch that can knock them off their game?
Well, I guess it's possible. I mean, obviously Georgia did it a year ago. They were very elite at a lot of positions that, you know, they had great, not only veteran linebackers, but they had great blitzing linebackers, and they could bring that pressure up the middle. And it was really tough. You know, so why would they have six sacks in this game a year ago? So, but it's not easy. Everybody thought they could stop LSU, but when you have a skilled veteran quarterback that's seen a lot and an offense that the coaching staff, you know, that LSU had a coaching staff that was brought in to run that Joe Brady offense and the perfect quarterback. Well, you know, this offense, Josh Heupel, that's all he knows. And the irony of it is a bit is, you know, I don't think anybody really personifies SEC football as much as maybe Kirby Smart does. You know, he grew up in an SEC high school. His dad was a coach that got all his roots from SEC football. He coached for Nick Saban. And you know, as little as maybe 3 or 4 years ago, this conference turned their nose up on offenses like this. And now this matchup is a Big 12 offense against an SEC defense that has a little bit of offense to bring with it.
Gary Danielson with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line, and rightfully so. A lot of people are talking about Jalen Hyatt, but you got McCoy, you got Tillman. I mean, pick your poison. There are so many weapons on this Tennessee offense.
Yeah, the injury to Tillman has really opened the spot to prove that they had other receivers that could make plays. So in the long run, and I still don't think Tillman's what he was. He's not the explosive guy he was before he hurt this ankle. But he's come a long way. Let's say he's 90%. But with the emergence now of Hyatt in that slot position, you know, that slot position used to be a possession receiver before, the Wesley Welker type guy that, you know, you put him in there. I had one when I was in Cleveland, Brian Brennan, that we would use in that position. Brady always made a living with those slot possession first down guys. But now with Tyreek Hill and Waddle and what Alabama did with their receivers, Jalen Hyatt's that type of guy. It's really an interesting matchup. How do you distort your defense? because they've had their slot receiver might be their fastest receiver on the field. So it sure gave Alabama problems, and it'll be interesting to see how Georgia tilts their defense to cover this slot, which is, you know, the way they split, it's a lot of space on that field for a slot.
Yeah, turnover margin's always a thing that's going to be talked about, but with the, they don't need time of possession. They just want possessions. And if you do what you did against Florida, giving them the football three times, you're gonna pay the ultimate price, I think.
Yeah, I think for both teams, though. I mean, you know, we understand these games. You know, you guys do this for a living every day. I used to do it back when I was in Detroit in my day. So you watch this game every which way, okay? And you bring on experts, and everybody's got 100 opinions of what could determine the outcome of this game. And when you go in and talk to the coaches like we have the privilege to do on Friday, you understand why they're so cranky, because all of the opinions are correct. It literally could be anything, you know, and there's so many ways. The reason these teams are good is they can beat you in so many different ways. There's no way to just, well, we'll take this away from them and then we'll make them play left-handed. It's just not that simple. It really isn't. And that's why when you go in asking the coaches, you know, what are you going to do? They look at you like you've got two horns on your head, because there's no simple answer to it.
And I think now when you talk about, and guys you've talked with many times over, so have we, guys like Kirby and Nick Saban, defensive guys, sure. And you can't dominate a game any longer. You just, I guess, simply put, you just have to win moments. Do you not now defensively?
I think that's the word. It's actually a good word. I look at it a little differently. I'm going to try to talk, and it's hard. These games go so fast. These college games are just a different animal than what they were, you know, 10 years ago doing a broadcast. Your time frame to explain is just different than it used to be. And that's good. I mean, I'm happy doing it. But I think defense has to learn to be more realistic and keep their energy up, even though the other team is scoring. And I put in the example, because I knew him very well and respected him so much, of my days in Detroit. We trained out of the same building, and Joe Dumars got to be a pretty good friend. And he used to have to cover Michael Jordan. And Joe was one of the best defenders in the league, but he had to set his mind straight that he could play good defense and Jordan could still score 38. So you have to keep going back to your fundamentals. And that's the same way in this game. I don't know if that's going to happen, but you have to be prepared. Kirby and Josh both have to prepare their defenses that you're just looking for stops. You know, if they get the ball 12 to 14 times, possessions, if we can stop them half the time, okay, so let's suppose just use 12 because it evens out for me on this example, and we get six stops, and on the other six, we hold them to half field goals. So 21-9 is 30 points. That'd be reasonable. I think if I'm Kirby, I'm walking in to my coaching staff and saying, listen, Todd, I got to get 35 from you in this game. It's unrealistic. We might be able to do it. And obviously the goal is to do that. We did it last year, but we got to go into the game thinking we got to get in the 35 range to have a significant chance to win the game. And I think it goes the other direction, maybe even a little bit more for Tennessee.
If you go as fast as Tennessee does, a week is not a very long time. You might have been working on this stuff, and you might have actually done some of this stuff before this week. But can you get a defense, I don't want to say in shape, but can you get them mentally ready for being on the field for more plays in a row than maybe they'd like to be?
No. You can't simulate if the other team is successful with their speed. It does frustrate you. It doesn't seem logical, but it does. I mean, you know, basketball players go fast and hockey players go fast, but you're right. Because there's more whistles, you're able to switch guys out. This, you can get a defense or a group of big guys stuck on the field. And if you don't kind of go against the rules and play, you know, injured players, it's going to work against you. That's why in these games, when you're playing against the up-tempo teams, first down's so important in these games. I mean, all downs are important. I get it, okay? But against the fast-paced teams, if they gouge you for 4 to 6 yards on first down, you're in for a long run here. They're going to just tee it up on you, and they're going to tire your big guys out.
Gary Danielson from CBS, obviously, with Ben Nessler, Colsey in Georgia, with us for a couple more minutes on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. So, you know, it's a stock rationale if you're playing an offense like Tennessee, but if you're Georgia, do you try to run the ball, time of possession, and score touchdowns, most importantly? Is it that simple, or is it overly simplified to put it that way?
I think the way you go into it is we don't waste possessions. We don't set up stuff, okay? Obviously, you call plays, and if they work, you understand you have plays off them. But you can't give possessions away here by trying to run clock in the first or second quarter. They're too valuable. You don't know how your defense is going to react to this game. So if you're Todd Monken, I think Todd's great at it. You know, I think you line up and say, listen, they're shaking about our offense too. You know, the tight end position, we have different guys at this position here. And let's see how you adjust to the way we play football. We're going to hit you with both hands, and we're going to start out figuring out who's going to cover number 19. And if you adjust the wrong way, I give a lot of credit to these offensive coaches. Alex is a great offensive coordinator. Todd is probably one of the tops in college football right now. Like the wishbone offenses, they've seen it all, and they know when a team adjusts what the counter is to it. And that's why Alex Golish is so fast at calling plays and why Todd is so adept at finding a play-action pass to hurt you if you adapt too much to his tight end. So it'll be a chess match. It's hard to explain all the time what's going on, but these coaches are seeing it with experience, and we're experiencing it, you know, 1 week at a time.
Do you expect players make plays, but do you expect that fourth and two? Do you go for it? Are you worried about a short field, the infamous shank punt or good return?
Yeah,
that
right,
short,
right.
Yeah,
I guess that's my point. It's everything. You know, I asked Kirby if he's an analytics guy, and he says he is, but I reserve the right if the flow's going the other way to change my mind. Well, obviously, then. To me, then you're not. You know, you keep it in your mind, but I think what you look at these things is what's the flow of the game, how we handle it. You know, Hendon Hooker last year, and I know sacks were included. He rushed 17 times for what, 20 yards or something. Georgia rushed for 270, and Tennessee rushed for 50. They're not going to win with those numbers. Hendon Hooker has to put on a Joe Burrow type display. When you build your offense around your quarterback, he's got to perform at that level, and he has to be in this spread offense, which is a little different than LSU. He's part runner, too. He's a tailback and a thrower. If he doesn't effectively run from those wide splits and put, you know, maybe 50 to 75 yards in the running game, that'll be a big win for Georgia. And for Georgia, I don't think anybody talks about anymore, like, well, let's just put it in the lap of Stetson Bennett. I don't think it's that simple, okay? The way they produce their offense, they give Stetson a lot of, you know, easy layup throws. He's going to get out of his, let's say he throws 30 times, is about what they average. He's going to get 10 layups, okay? So he's not going to miss those. So now he's the other 10. Does he have a great game on those other 20? Does he complete 10 out of those other 20 and has a great game, or does he make a significant error? But those errors are capable by both quarterbacks. So, you know, these Joe Burrows, Bryce Youngs come around every once in a while. We still don't know if Hendon Hooker is that guy. But remember, we didn't know until Joe Burrow beat Alabama in that game whether he was that guy.
I never thought about it. So how you call a game based upon this up-tempo and more of it? You've been doing this long enough where...
Sure.
So, yeah, so do you, I don't want to ask if you like it more or less, but what adjustments have you had to make when you know the speed of the game is now what it is?
Oh, yeah. Everything is an adjustment. It's not the old way of a play gets run, you throw up a replay, and you talk by the replay, and you point out how the guard stepped with the wrong foot, and you just don't have the ability to do that anymore. So you have to be concise, you know, and I've been blessed. You know, Brett is as good as there is of getting in and out and making a point and calling the tackle and giving me room. And I've, you know, learned, of course, I worked with Vern, but I've learned, you know, when Brad wants the handoff back. So, you know, I'm not running up to the snap because he's a pro on how he sets up the next play, you know. So, yeah, there's a flow to it. And you try to give, you know, the viewer some insight, but you cannot be wordy. I watch a lot of other people, and I think they talk too much, okay, and I try not to. But, you know, a lot of things happen, and our producer probably puts up, you know, one of the things I'm on the talkback, are we showing too many replays? Let's slow down. But people want to see everything. So it is a double-edged sword, that's for sure.
When was the last time you actually sat in the stands at a professional or a college game?
Can I count high school and AAU and all that stuff with my kids and grandkids? No, college game? I think the last one I went to was, yes, it was Florida, Oklahoma, and Miami. The game that Florida won was their second national championship under Urban. A game that, by the way, Oklahoma could have easily won. They went too fast three times inside the red zone and came up with no points. Yeah, it really made big mistakes.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because, you know, it's one thing to go at warp speed. You better have a solid game plan because it can become reckless.
I don't know if you guys remember back, but a few years ago I was trying to show the fans, and it happened a lot to Auburn back in the day. They were going warp speed. But if you actually measured how successful they were at warp speed, they were less. There were times when we were doing games and we were measuring their success because you can't count first downs after a change of possession, and you can't count warp speed if you make a substitution because the other team has the right to slow you down. So we were actually measuring it. We found out that Auburn was making way too many mistakes. They were jumping off sides. They had loss of yardage. And I was talking to Gus about it, and he goes, we don't really look at it that way. And I go, what do you mean? And he goes, we look at it that in the long run, this is like throwing a deep, incomplete pass. We're putting pressure on the defense one way or another, even if we're not successful.
Yeah,
so it's an interesting way to look at it.
And I don't even know how you get these quarterbacks' mindsets to change. I know they're doing some of this in high school as well. I think sure. I read the number. Tennessee's got 22 plays of 40 yards or more. They're taking right. shots, but they're successful at their shots.
That distorts how fast they're going to, by the way. It's somewhat of a mirage because all they do is they take the number of plays divided by how long you hide time of possession. But if you hit first down 75-yard touchdowns, okay, it distorts how fast you're really going. So it's not easy to talk about during a game. It's more of a coaching clinic type film where you say, how many times are they really going full speed at you? You know, who was really effective? Alabama was effective in the SEC championship game, keeping the big guys for Jordan Davis on the field by going fast. Every time he was out there, they tried to keep him out there. But Kirby learned some lessons, and when it turned it around in the national championship game.
It's funny. I know you're a sports fan. We talk about analytics. Yet eyeballs and heartbeats, if I can take the pulse of a quarterback, what does he see? How quickly can he see it? Does he understand what a two-minute drill is if we're doing it all game and not go crazy with trying to do too much? Remember that the football is king. It really is it's a totally different game in so many different ways, including the guy who is the most important guy on the field, the quarterback himself.
Yeah. Well, that's really so far. And I doubt if he'll be all of a sudden be bad, okay? But Hendon Hooker seems to be calm amid the chaos, okay? I played with a guy in the NFL when I got traded to Cleveland, Bernie Kosar, who was so good at Miami, and he had a great career with Cleveland until he hurt his arm, and he, to me, was one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen. The more variables and the faster you went, the calmer he seemed to get. When you went to the huddle and called the play action, slow developing play, he overthought it. But when it was going fast, he seemed to thrive. And it seems like that's the way Hendon Hooker is. If you watch him in the pocket, he is totally calm. He's getting some good coaching. And it seems to me that he doesn't even have to go to his second or third receiver very often. Tom Brady used to talk that prior to the snap, 3 out of 4 plays he knew he was going to throw to before the snap, and he only had to confirm it. Looks to me like Tennessee's coaching their quarterback pretty much this way.
If you go back to your playing days and all the games you've called now, how long a list is it of players that when you get to the line of scrimmage, you absolutely have to account for where they are as a quarterback? You are looking for a certain guy. Is that list longer or shorter than we think?
And I think it's most of the people that you all know. You know, when you played against Dion or Lawrence Taylor, you always had to know where Mike Singletary was because he was a great blitzer. You know, you know, when we played against the Vikings back in my first few days, I mean, Alan Page was so tough inside. You had to trap him because he was always coming at you. You know, he kind of like Aaron Donald. He would just attack the creases, so you had to go at him. But there are those players. But, you know, we used to have a pretty good read on Aaron when he blitzed and when he was dropping in coverage. And you know how much it helped us? Not at all. And I did a radio show for 5 years in Detroit with Kirk Gibson. And he said that when he was playing, they all had a read on Dwight Gooden. They knew every pitch he threw about because of how he placed his hand in the glove, and they couldn't hit him. So sometimes these players are just too good.
Yeah, I just read an article about Randy Johnson. At times he would tell the hitter what he was going to throw, and the hitter was still powerless. So, yeah, all of that information sometimes doesn't help.
That does. It's nice to have, you know. I mean, you know, a guy like Peyton, I talked to Peyton about this stuff. He wanted every little thing he could have. And then there are other quarterbacks, like, seems to me like Brett Favre. Let me just have the ball and figure things out after the snap. I feel more confident that way.
Hey, Gary, last one. I know you call a lot of good games because this has been a prime slot forever.
Yeah, but we've been pretty lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you find, though, as you talk to the coaches of the ones and the twos and the threes and the fours, maybe even more so in this era, are they giving you a little bit less than a guy who's ranked 22nd when you go into some of these meetings?
They do. There's so much riding on it. You just got to watch what you ask from them. You know, I don't really want to know what their trick play is or, you know, what's coming next. It's, you know, we don't make it about ourselves that way. I want to know, you know, philosophy wise, what are you thinking? What guys have to come through for you for this game to work well? And that's even hard, but they're so consumed with everything that's going on. It becomes for them is like they're chasing a lot of ghosts. I can see it when they walk in the room. They're chasing a lot of ghosts.
It's palpable. I mean, it doesn't walk in the room with them.
Oh yeah. I mean, so this is my 17th year. You know, what do we do? 12 SEC games a year. So what is that? 102. Let's just suppose 250 games we've done. I'll bet there's only been 20 games that didn't have national championship consequences. The games we've done.
Now that's pressure.
I mean, absolutely.
All right, Gary.
And it beats the hell out of being on the fourth network of some of these networks.
I've been blessed, and it's coming to a close. I'm going to miss every one of these weekends in the SEC.
Well, enjoy this weekend in Athens. Always a pleasure having you on. Always a great conversation. Gary Danielson, hopefully we can talk again real soon.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.